Today we have this great privilege of celebrating all of the souls who are in heaven. And as we gather to honor them, to celebrate this feast, the first question that we have to ask is, do they care? Not for themselves, not in the least. They get absolutely nothing from us being here. Zero. We cannot make their happiness in heaven any greater. We can add nothing to it. And yet, they are rejoicing abundantly because we are here. They are rejoicing because we want to be with them. That's what they desire for us. Their happiness cannot be increased. They are in the fullness of the glory of God. But the wonderful thing, because they are saints, there is no selfishness in them. And so their interest is in us. They want us to be able to be saints. They want us to be able one day to get to heaven. So the great question then that each one of us has to ask is, do we want to be saints? Now, if we ask it the other way and say, do you want to go to heaven? Well, I think we'd have 100% saying, absolutely, I want to go to heaven. But let's just word that the other way. Do you want to be a saint? Now, when we're talking about the saints, remember, we've got our 8,000 or so canonized saints. We're talking about the uncountable number of people who are in heaven who are not canonized. So I'm not asking the question, do you want to be canonized? Because I can guarantee you once again, not one of the saints in heaven cares that they've been canonized. They did not, on the day of their canonization, go, praise the Lord, they finally recognized I'm a saint. They don't care. All that's important to them is they're with the Lord. They're looking at God face to face. They're glorifying Him for the rest of eternity. Getting to heaven is what mattered to them, not whether or not they're canonized. So we don't care, or we shouldn't care, if we get canonized or not. What we should care about is that we get to heaven. So do you want to be a saint? As I've told you many times, we live in a day and age where it is the single greatest time ever in the history of the world to be alive, because this is the single greatest time ever to become a saint. That's what we have the opportunity to be able to do. But now we have to embrace it. We have to choose to live it. Now, as we heard in the first reading, we have all of those saints that are there standing around the throne and all clothed in their white and so on. And along with the angels, they began singing, salvation belongs to our God who is seated upon the throne and to the Lamb. So again, we have to be able then to say, all right, if we want to become saints, how do we do that? Number one, to recognize by ourselves we can't. We have our part to do, but heaven is something supernatural. You cannot get there by yourself. If you tried your hardest from this day forward, you still cannot save your own soul. Salvation comes from our God and from the Lamb. Our salvation is from Jesus Christ, and He is the only means of salvation. St. Peter told us that on the day of Pentecost. He said, there is no other name given to humanity by which we will be saved other than the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is no other way. Again, our Lord Himself told us that. No one, He said, comes to the Father except through Me. He is the only way. That's what He said. I am the way. Not a way, the way. The only way to get to heaven is Jesus Christ. There is no other. Now again, we all know that. The question once again is, do we live it? It's one thing to know it in our heads. It's another thing to put it into practice. Now, again, we could look at it very objectively and we can say, yep, Jesus alone is the Savior. He alone is the Redeemer. He's the only means by which I can get to heaven. Yep, I acknowledge that. Good enough. Not good enough. Because Satan too can acknowledge the same thing. Satan can say that Jesus is the Redeemer. Satan can say Jesus is the Savior. Satan can say Jesus is the only way that a human person can get to heaven. But he obviously didn't put it into practice, and look at where it got him. So Satan knows what the truth is, but he rejected it. Not rejected it as being true, but rejected it in the sense that for himself, he didn't want to live it. And so we can do the same. We know what the truth is. We acknowledge it. But do we really want to live it? Do we really want to be saints? The saints lived their lives for our Lord. They lived in this world with their focus on the next. They lived lives of true charity. And by true charity, it simply means love of God and love of neighbor. That's what their entire being was about. Now, we have a major problem in the situation in which we live. As I keep pointing out, it's the most selfish society in history. And so everything around us is pulling us the wrong direction. It's pulling us into ourselves. The whole point of our living is to be pulled out of ourselves, so that we're living our lives for the Lord, so that one day we too can be in heaven. But that's a choice now that we have to make. Because of the society in which we live, yes, it's more difficult. But precisely because of the circumstances of our lives, this is the greatest opportunity to become a saint. We have to choose it. We have to make a radical choice to be able to say, I am going to go against the grain. I'm not going to live like the world around me. That's a challenge, because we still have to live in the world, and we still have to deal with the people who don't know our Lord and who don't care and who don't want to serve the Lord. We have to go to work, and we have to deal with our neighbors, and we have to deal with our family members and friends, some of whom don't have any clue or don't want to. And it's a whole lot easier just to say, you know what? If I'm the weird one, shouldn't I kind of fit in with everybody else and quit being weird? Who's weird? We're made in the image and likeness of the Lord. We're supposed to be like Him. And if it's weird to be like Jesus, then the world has a major, major, major problem, not us. Because we're doing what we're supposed to do if we're being like Him. And if the world doesn't recognize Him, that's not our problem. We shouldn't stop being like God in order to be like the world, because the world doesn't know Him. It's our task to help the world to know Him. It's our task to bring Him into the world. We are to be, as He said, the light in the darkness. We're to be the salt of the earth. That's our task, to be like the yeast that's worked into the dough. So He hasn't plucked us out of the world. He could have done that. He could have just said, well, let's have this little enclave of saints that are over here, and they'll help one another, and they'll support one another, and they'll help one another to grow in holiness, and they'll all become saints. Wouldn't that have been great? Yeah, on one hand, yes. But that's really not the way to become a saint. I've told this story frequently, but I remember giving parish mission in a diocese that's very good. And I had a classmate from college who was a priest in that diocese, and I hadn't seen him for years at that point. And I thought, you know, I should just call this guy up and say hello as long as I'm in his diocese. So I did. And as we're talking, he was telling me how wonderful it is, because he had left a different diocese to go there because the place was so bad. It was horrible. And so he went to this other diocese, and he's telling me how wonderful it is to be in that diocese. And as we went along, he said, yeah, I can just basically keep my feet up on the desk, and I've got nothing to worry about. And I pointed out a few things. I said, well, what about this that I'm seeing going on here? Oh, yeah, he said, but, you know, at least I don't have this to worry about, you know, like what you guys have to deal with. So, well, what about this? Well, yeah, but at least I don't have that to worry about like what you guys do. And we went through this a few times. I finally looked at him and said, you know what? I am so glad that I called you, because you have made me realize what a blessing it is to be in the Twin Cities. I said, if I was in a diocese like this, I'd sit back with my feet up on the desk and I'd get soft. I said, I have to fight for my faith every single day. And it keeps me on my toes. What a blessing. I said, thank you for helping me to realize that. Because it's easy in the midst of all the nonsense to think, oh, this is horrible. Why is God allowing this? He's allowing it to make us saints. That's why he's allowing it. And we need to see it as a blessing, because most of us in our humanness would get soft if we were in a little enclave where everybody was helping one another to become saints. We'd get soft. And we wouldn't really grow in virtue, because we wouldn't have to grow in virtue. We live in a situation where we have no choice. If we want to become saints, we have to grow in virtue. And we have all the means at our disposal to do it. We live in a pagan society. We live in a society that doesn't have any honesty. We live in a society that doesn't have any integrity. We live in a society that's totally selfish. If we're going to work against it, we have to fight. We have to grow in strength. We have to be able to develop those virtues so that one day we can look at those beatitudes that we heard in the gospel and say, wow, look at that. In the midst of this angry society, I've learned meekness because I didn't want to be angry. In the midst of a society that doesn't know any justice, if I've chosen to be just and righteous, that's what I've learned. In a society that rejects God, if I have become a true child of God, what a blessing. If I live in a society that doesn't want to do what's right and I choose to do what's right, guess what? If I do that, I'm going to be persecuted. People are going to speak against me, and wow, isn't that exactly what the Lord said? Blessed are you when that happens. And then we can learn from that how to forgive. We can learn from that how to be able to discern right from wrong. We can make the right distinctions because we can see them clearly at that point. And so we need to recognize the circumstances in which we live. And I hear it over and over again. In fact, I just heard it again this morning. I'm just despairing. I look at what's going on, I don't see any hope. It's so bad. It's like, what are you talking about? Praise the Lord for what we're in. This is how he's making us saints. We should be rejoicing. And isn't that exactly what Jesus told us in the gospel today? Rejoice and be glad when this happens. Don't look around in despair. Praise God, because he's giving each one of us an opportunity to grow in holiness because of our circumstances. What a gift. What a blessing. Rejoice and be glad. Otherwise, again, if you're anything like me, look at it the other way. You'd become soft. Well, I kind of am anyway, but different way. But it's a matter that we would become really soft. Saints aren't soft. Saints aren't mediocre. Saints are in love with Jesus. Saints are on fire with love for the Lord. Saints are on fire with love for souls. There's no mediocrity in them. There's no softness that's there. There's a softness in the sense of their charity and their gentleness and their kindness. They're not mean and nasty and angry. I don't mean hard in that way. I mean they're strong in their love because they had to make a choice to go against the current. And that's what we have to choose too. As they like to say, the only things that go with the current are things that are dead. They float along with the current. Heaven is about those who are alive. The living go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, then you need to be going against the current. You need to choose life rather than death. You need to choose God rather than Satan. You need to choose to glorify the Lord rather than glorifying the self. This is the blessing that is ours. This is the great opportunity that is ours. And we're not alone. Like I said, the saints right now do not care in the least that we are honoring them today. What they do care about is that they can be with us and they can help us. St. Paul told us that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on. They're with us. They haven't abandoned us by going to heaven. They're remaining with us. But they're helping us because they want us to be saints too. They want us to be able to love God and glorify Him for as much as we possibly can for all eternity. And they're looking at us. I can probably guarantee you if they could be envious, they would. Because they're going to look at it and say, you know what? If I could be alive in your time, that's what I wish I could do, because I could become an even greater saint. I could love God even more because of the circumstances that you guys have and I didn't. That's what they would say to us. So don't despair, don't get down, don't get mopey. Rejoice and embrace it, because this is our day. This is the time. This is the day the Lord has made for us. And His grace is there. If where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. We have an absolute overflowing abundance of grace available to us. More than any culture, more than any time has ever had. Because there's never been a time like this one. And that's all right there for us. To be able to receive and to be able to cooperate with it so that we can become saints. So as we celebrate all those glorious people who have said yes to God and lived their lives for Him throughout the generations, now it's our turn. The world needs saints. The church needs saints. And you and I are called to be those saints. It's our choice. It's our time. We need to recognize what all the saints did. Salvation is not ours. Salvation comes from the Lord and from the Lamb. Glorify Him. Live your life for Him. Walk upstream. Go against the current and become the greatest saint that you can be, which simply means love God as much as you possibly can.